In 457 BC, for instance, the Athenians put paid to half a century of rivalry by invading their old rival Aegina, dismantling her walls, confiscating her fleet, and then inviting her to join the league. An offer which the wretched Aeginetans could hardly refuse, and of which even the most imperious Oriental despot might have been proud. Men began to recall the first arrival of Athens to her empire as a moment both ominous and fateful. For Xanthippus, it was said, having sailed north from the Battle of Mycale, had moored off the Hellespont, seized the cables from Xerxes' bridge as plunder, and then nailed a captured Persian alive to a plank. This crucifixion, looming ever larger in people's memories, began to seem sufficient to cast all Greece into its shadow. And yet the Athenians themselves knew better. Great though their city had become, and powerful and rich, they never forgot for a moment what she had passed through, what she had braved to win such preeminence. Bulwark of Greece, famous Athens, city of godlike men. The world that she had put in her shadow, she also illuminated with her glory. Literally so, for a sailor rounding Cape Sunium might look towards the shining city, violet-crowned, famous in song, and see, at a distance of 30 miles, a brilliant flash of light. This was the reflection of the sun upon a burnished spear, held in the grip of a colossal Athena, some 35 feet tall, who stood, heroic and beautiful, on the summit of the Acropolis, guarding the entrance to the rock, her gaze serenely fixed in the direction of Salamis. Fashioned out of plunder seized from the barbarians, funded by the members of the League, and crafted by Phidias, the greatest Athenian sculptor of his day, the bronze rendered physical the whole triumphant course of the democracy's history. A statue of liberty indeed. And why not, the Athenians began to wonder, of Greek brotherhood as well?